So I mentioned earlier that it's Pentecost Sunday. And I said, how many know it was Pentecost Sunday? And I saw just a few hands go up. Most people didn't know it was Pentecost. And, you know, a church like ours doesn't have that church calendar. Have you been in one of those more traditional churches that, you know, they've got something recognizable every month about, sometimes more than that. And, you know, so they hit a certain thing, and this is on the church calendar, you know, of all the churches in the world. And it's not all the churches in the world. And we're one of those churches that really, you know, we pay attention to a few things, but we really don't do all those things like some do. And by the way, there's some who have the more traditional, you know, European church calendar. How many of you know there are churches out there that have a calendar that follows all the feasts and, you know, and everything they've got? And some of those churches even don't do Easter when we do Easter. There's all sorts of things. There's an Orthodox and Catholic, and, you know, so there's all these calendars. We just think every day. For me, every day is the same. I believe that every day is a day of praise. How many of you think that's true? Good. So turn to Luke chapter 24, and we're going to look at a verse there, and then we're going to move over to Acts chapter 1. So, and I encourage you, might be to your great benefit today, to try to flip through your Bibles or your phones or your tablets or whatever you're using and follow me today, because I'm going to hit some verses and we're going to talk a little bit about the promise of Pentecost. And so the promise of Pentecost is something that I think every one of us should be fully engaging in. So Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, it says there, behold, I send the promise, everybody say promise, of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power. Everybody say power. Power from on high. So the first thing I want to draw your attention to is that what took place on the day of Pentecost was in response to a very specific promise that Jesus had made to his followers. And if you look back in Luke 24, you'll see that it's not just the 12. It says something about 500 being there. So this was something he made available to his followers. How many of you are a follower? Yeah, you are. I hope you are. You should be. And so Luke recorded this in the end of his gospel, and then he repeats it, kind of, in Acts chapter 1, which Luke both wrote the gospel of Luke and he wrote the book of Acts. So chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, and being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. Everybody say promise. Of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Everybody say baptized. You know what baptized means, right? We think that we have a lot of different ways of baptizing people, and some people are more symbolic about it, and some people are more get them under the water and hold them down until the bubbles stop. And, you know, there's just different ways of doing it. But the word actually means to immerse. That would be the literal translation of it. And I believe when Jesus said that he wanted to baptize us in his Holy Spirit, I feel like that's what he was talking about. Jesus promised his followers that he would immerse them with power, in power, surrounded them with power. So I think this promise, I don't know, I think it was a big deal. I think it was something worth pursuing. And it wasn't only the promise of, you know, a conversion experience, a salvation experience, and then eternal life when you die. That's not what this was. That's not that those things aren't good. Jesus gave us those things. Jesus wanted us to have a transformation of being born again. And then he wanted us to walk in that and know that we have eternal life. But this is not just that. And a lot of people want to stop at that or are satisfied with that. And by the way, if you do, I'm not saying that you're going to short circuit that or that you won't go to heaven or that, but I believe that there's more. There's more. The word in the Greek language for power here is the word dunamis, and it's where we get the word dynamite. So his disciples were supposed to become endued with enough dynamite to blow the whole world to smithereens. Dynamite. Some of you are too young to remember that. And the interesting thing is they got this power thing going, and by the time they got out away from Jerusalem and began to go out into the world, and they reached Thessalonica, in Acts 17, verse 6, it says, "And these who have turned the world upside down have come here too." There was a reputation for the people of God who were going out into the world of blowing things up. Are you okay with things being blown up a little? Or do you like them the way you like them? Let's not get too excited in church, Pastor Tim. Let's just have a nice little service here. We'll all be fine. And then we'll just go home and come back next week and do it again. And I want to make sure you understand, it wasn't given to them alone. And this is one of the things that's actually happened. There are some churches who believe that this promise was given to them. They got it. We don't. They got to have it, not for us. Holy Spirit was active then, now he's passive. He's just sitting around in us, waiting to see if we'll do the right thing or the wrong thing, and if we do the wrong thing, he's going to make us feel bad. But other than that, he's not doing anything. Now, I'm telling you, there are churches that wouldn't like it if they heard me say it that way, but that's the way it's taught. There's this thing called cessationism. And it was only given to the original 12, except for Luke said that, you know, in front of 500 you can have it. But let me just clarify this, because it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 39, concerning the promise, it says, "For the promise is to you and to your children and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call." Did God call you? I think so. If he called you, then this promise is for you, and it didn't stop someplace. Now, most of you know this. You're in this church. You wouldn't be in this church if you didn't know this already. But somebody's going to watch this on video, and this is going to be a revelation to them. So this promise is for you and for me. How many of you feel like you'd like to carry around some dynamite? Yeah. Some of you are not thinking spiritual when I said that, though. You're thinking, I watched a video once of a good old boy in a boat, you know, and he had a stick of dynamite or two, and he would light them and just throw them far enough away from the boat and let it sink, and then all of a sudden go, boom, and the whole lake would pond it, just do like this. And then all the fish would come to the top, and he'd just get a net and start scooping them up. But that's really not a bad illustration of what God wants to do. God wants to send the Holy Spirit in to blow things up, and he wants us to take in the harvest. But we've got to be willing to light that fire. Is it possible to have Christ and not have received that power? Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 17 says, "Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as of yet he had not fallen upon any of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. I think if they baptized them, they must have been believers. But something was not quite there. Because you can be a believer, but you cannot be full of dynamite and ready to blow up any second now for the kingdom. Received in these contexts, by the way, for they had received the word of God. Received there is a word in the Greek, dekomei, and it means to accept. They had welcomed it. They had welcomed the word of God, and they believed. But then it says later, for they had not received the Holy Spirit, so they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. The word there is not the same word for received. It's lambano, and it means to take, grab hold of, and bring it. Come get it. Do you want to get it? Do you want to come get it? Do you want to have it? Yeah. But you gotta go after it. It's one thing to accept what God did for you, and it's another thing to go after what he wants to do through you. Did you get that? It's one thing for you to accept what he did for you, and another thing for you to get what he wants to do through you. You have to take hold of that. That's good preaching right there. That is. Yeah, don't start now with that clapping thing. It's too late. Should have done it earlier. By the way, the 12 had the same kind of, if you will, the same experience. In John 20, verses 21 and 22, it says, so Jesus said to them again, peace to you, as the Father has sent me, so also I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. They already saw him raised from the dead. They were already believing in him, but he was directing them towards something else, something more, something powerful, something dynamite. And then a few days later, they got it on the day of Pentecost. And there are several examples in the book of Acts of this. Acts chapter 2, verse 4 says, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. That was them. That was the first time the disciples had the experience. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak in tongues and magnify God. Acts chapter 19, verses 4 through 6. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him. That is on Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. He found some people, it says earlier, he found some disciples. They were already kind of being discipled, but they hadn't really taken it to the next level. And by the way, did you notice that tongues thing, that speaking in tongues thing? Let's look at that real quick. And some of you have heard me preach this before, but I think on the day of Pentecost, it's good for me to mention it and to make sure everybody understands it. So here we go. First, did you know that nowhere in the Bible does it say that the gospel was ever preached in tongues? I'm not saying God can't do anything he wants, but nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that the gospel was presented to any people in tongues. And that rattles some people's cages, including mine, because I grew up believing what happened on the day of Pentecost was that the tongues broke out and people heard the gospel. But I'm going to show you that it didn't. All right, you ready? Here we go. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 14, and it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came the sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire and sat on each one of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused. Everybody say, and were confused. Because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Now, wait a minute. If they're speaking in your language, why are you confused? Well, I'm going to tell you, my wife speaks to me in English all the time, and I'm still confused. And it's not her fault. It's just sometimes what she's saying and what I'm thinking are not on the same plane. And, you know, and so you can be confused and hear your own language. I'm going to make sure you know this. And they were confused because everyone heard them speak his own language. They were amazed and marveled. Everybody say marveled. Okay. It's another word that if you really look up the original, it's kind of like, wow, what is this? It created more questions than answers. There you go. Does that make sense? They were like, whoa. So if the speaking in tongues was helping them understand something, it wasn't working. Because they weren't getting it. They were marveled and said to one another, look, all these who speak, are not all these who speak Galileans? How is it that we hear them in our own language in which we were born? And then it goes through a list of different languages that is more than 12. And I won't read all the different ones, but all these different languages from all these different parts of the world. We hear them, verse 11, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. Okay, isn't that the gospel? No, not necessarily. I'll help you with that in a minute. So they were amazed and perplexed. Wait a minute, they're hearing the wonderful works of God and they're going, They were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, whatever could this mean? Okay, if they were being told something that they were supposed to understand, why are they saying, whatever could this mean? They heard the language, they heard them speaking, but they didn't hear a clear gospel message telling them what they needed to do until, and let me just throw this in here, others mocking said, they are full of new wine. So a lot of people thought they were just drunk. Like, I don't know what they're doing, but it looks like a bunch of drunk people to me. And then Peter, it says, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, now, if you want to go to Acts chapter 2, you can read the whole message that Peter gave. And from the way it's written and the way the context flows, Peter was talking in one language. By the way, everybody who was there were Jews and proselytes, which means they understood Hebrew. They probably understood Aramaic as well. That would have been, you know, a learned group of people who came there to celebrate Pentecost, because that was a Jewish holiday before the Christians took it. And he begins to preach, and he preaches up until verse 47 in Acts chapter 2. And then he says, or the scripture says, now when they heard this, everybody say this. Okay, what did they hear? They heard one man stand up above the crowd, tell everybody what was really going on. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And that's when they were given directions for the next step so that they too could experience this gift of God. I've had a lot of people, when I've taught this way, their eyes open up, and they go, oh, so all those people that said that this stuff stopped with the apostles and isn't necessary because we now know how to preach the gospel in every language, or we learn their language and we preach to them, and they come up with all these ideas. No. This is what was really happening. So until Peter got up and preached, the people didn't know how to respond, and when they did respond, it was after he got up and preached. But what they heard beforehand was what? The wonderful works of God. This is a big deal. How many of you have ever read the Psalms? Yeah. Have you ever heard the psalmist go off about what God did? How he opened up the sea and opened up the river, and the psalmist will quote the great things that God has done. That's what he'll do. And he shares, and they used it as worship. The wonderful works of God was worship. Awesome. So what if tongues is worship? And what if it was on the day of Pentecost? In Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46, it says, while Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues, and, I didn't read this earlier, magnify God. How many of you have ever heard the psalm? Oh Lord, we magnify you. Sounds like worship to me, doesn't it? I'm not done. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2 says, for he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. All right? So what do we do when we're worshiping God? We turn our minds and our hearts and our words toward God. For he who speaks in tongues does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. A mystery is a thing that's not obvious to our understanding. Yeah. Again, the Holy Spirit's doing something when we speak in tongues that is not obvious to our understanding, but is still something. And by the way, I like to sing in the Spirit and pray in the Spirit, because I know when I do it in the Spirit, I won't ask for stupid stuff. Have you ever been praying out loud, by the way, and you said something and then you're like, wait. I know what I just asked for there, but I'm thinking about that. I'm not sure I want that to happen. Sometimes I don't know how to pray, which is why I love praying in the Spirit. I don't know how to pray. I just don't. I don't know how to direct my heart, my worship, my prayers toward God. And I can do it in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Going on to verse 15. What is the conclusion then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with my understanding. We had someone come visit one time, attended church here for a while. He was sitting right back there. Somebody broke out in tongues. Somebody gave an interpretation. And what amazed him was he understood the tongues. And then when he heard the interpretation, he went, huh? That's what they said. When we think that the promise was only given to share the gospel, then we may conclude that speaking in tongues is not often necessary, and therefore we might push it back as something that's not really important. And I've heard people say it's the least of the gifts. Well, then at least you ought to be able to get it. If it's the least of the gifts, which I don't believe is what it says at all, it just says that there is a value in the congregation for a word from the Lord that everybody understands above a word that everybody doesn't understand. Unless it's interpreted, then it's equal. But people have turned it into something less. Why? Because they don't want to have to mess with it. I want to mess with you today. You need to start messing with this. Come out on Wednesday nights with me and just walk around and pray in the Spirit. That's what I do a lot of the time. Just walk around and pray in the Spirit. But when we understand that this was given so that we could release prayer and praise toward the Father, prayer and praise uncontaminated by our way of thinking, but only by His Spirit and what His Spirit inside of us knows we need and knows is needed in every situation. And when we pray like that, that is power. It's dynamite. It's going to break those things that are held up, that river that got dammed up in a place and needs to be let loose. It's going to blow it up. And when we see that it's power, then we realize it's power for each and every believer. Each and every believer. Let me add to this one more verse. Jude, chapter 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, look at somebody next to you and say, hey, beloved. You know you're the beloved of God. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Man, this verse is loaded. I could park here and talk a while, but I'm not going to, except just let me just say these things. There's so much more. Building yourselves up. Building yourselves up. There are times when we need each other, and that's a big deal. And so I'm not excluding those, but do you know that the Holy Spirit is way better at it than anybody sitting in this room? And if we can pray in the Spirit, we will build ourselves up and we will keep ourselves in the love of God. I don't think I've ever lived in a time where I needed to stay in the love of God more than I am living in right now. Man, there's a whole lot of division out there and it's ugly and people are saying hard things and harmful things and falsehoods, and it's just there's this battle going on, and we need to stay in the love of God. We need to stay in it, because it's really easy to get outside of it and go, you and your kind. So this promise of the Spirit is indeed powerful. And it's something that every believer should be experiencing as fully as you possibly can. I'm listening for Holy Spirit to tell me what to do next. I remember one summer at camp. I shared this stuff with kids in the Tabernacle at Oak Hill Conference and Retreat Center. Probably 250 kids there that day, morning session. And after I got done telling it, I invited them to come up. Now, when you're a kid, and there's a whole lot of other kids, and you see the other kids decide they're going to go up, then you can go up, and then it becomes really easy, right? Got a big crowd, and before I knew it, there were 125 kids up front. They had heard this, and they were ready to get the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, maybe everybody in the room today already has the Holy Spirit as much as you need to get the Holy Spirit, and you're already a tongue-talking maniac or a prophesying giant. Maybe you don't need to come to our class where we're going to talk about seeing angels because you see them all the time. I don't know. But I have a willingness to believe that there might be a couple people in here who don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Or they've prayed for it, but they've not had what I think is important, which is a release of something in the Spirit that's a gift. And I don't believe that tongues is the only gift because it says they prophesied and spoke in tongues, but I believe that, I mean, I believed I got the baptism of the Holy Spirit on a Sunday night, but I didn't get to pray in tongues until my birthday on a Thursday night. So those 125 kids that I told you about, they came forward, started out with a trickle, and the next thing I know, there's 125 of them up there. And I led them through a little thing that I do, and about 110 of them instantly broke out praying in the Spirit. Because I believe that that gift is available to everybody, by the way. Some people say, well, he doesn't give to everybody every gift. That's another teaching for another day, but that's a mistaken understanding. I've seen all the gifts manifest in my life in the time that I've served God for the last 50 plus years. They're there for us. It's standard equipment, standard issue. You all get it all. The question is whether I've got tools in my toolbox that I barely ever touch. But the whole toolbox is yours. And this one called speaking in tongues is, man, it's handy. It's a handy dandy tool. So I'm going to suggest two ways. You need to watch and be careful about what I'm about to say. Because if you don't have the gift of the Spirit, and I invite you to come up here and get it right now, which I'm about to do, you can make this more complicated for yourself. But you can come see me later. The problem with come see me later, how many of you think that would have worked really good for the teenagers on that Sunday morning? Or excuse me, it wasn't a Sunday morning, but that morning session. You think if I'd have said, okay, anybody wants this later, come see me, they'd have been at the pool all afternoon. They would never have gotten back to me. But when I invited them and a few came up, the next thing I know, there's a herd up there. By the way, the 15 that didn't get it right away, I pulled them aside, spent a little extra time with them, and they had it. And within about 20 minutes, everybody who wanted it got it. And I prayed with literally hundreds of people to receive the Holy Spirit. And I've watched the gift of tongues released in their life. And sometimes prophecy and other things start happening right away too. Pretty amazing. So here's my question. Is there anybody? I'm not going to make this easy on somebody. Is there anybody that says, I need that? I want you to lay hands on me. And I want to receive that today. Is there anybody here who doesn't already have it and you want to get it right now? Anybody? All right. If you don't have it, you can come to me later. But you would have been so blessed if you'd have come right now. I'm going to end with this explanation. How many of you remember there was a guy named Peter? I'm moving out of the site here, but I'm going to grab something. There we go. That's what I need right here. Front pew. Somebody sees me doing this. They're like, do you want me to come sit in the pew? No, too late. How many remember Peter in the boat? Jesus walking on the water. Peter looks across. Jesus is coming. Everybody's screaming, yelling ghost. Somehow crazy old Peter. Don't know what the deal was with that dude. Let me turn this around this way. It's going to be easier. He looks out at Jesus and he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. Because Jesus had already said, hey, boys, it's me. Don't be afraid. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Do you remember how the scripture says that he was suddenly just lifted out of the boat and floated over the side? And then he was gently set down in the water. And then two angels came and made both legs move. Is that how the scripture says it? No, no. Peter, who knows perfectly well that when he jumps out of a boat, because he'd done it a bunch of times over his lifetime, he knew perfectly well that when he hits the water, he's going under. Because that's what you know, right? That's what you know because you've done it. So Peter, he looks out and he says, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And the Lord says, come. And he goes, man, all right. Whoa. This is pretty good. And he was doing fine until what? Yeah, until he went, oh, that's a big one. Whoo. Is that a shark in there? He's looking at around instead of looking on Jesus. And then he sinks. And then Jesus pulls him out of the water. And we know all the story, right? We all know the story. So here's the thing. You saw me. Did I jump over that pew myself, or did the Holy Spirit force my hands onto the side of the pew so I could jump over it? Well, I did it myself. We've had people, after hearing this teaching and this explanation, go home and bury themselves in a closet or a basement or someplace, go out in the nature, wherever they need to go. Do you know that the scripture says they spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance? You'll never speak in tongues unless you speak, but you'll never speak in tongues unless he gives you the utterance. But if you start to speak, he'll give you the utterance. If you start to speak, he'll give you the utterance. If you come to me and I lay my hands on you and pray for you, and we had a good message on laying on of hands a couple of weeks ago, and unfortunately our thing glitched. But if I lay my hands on you and pray for you, it can be in my office later, it can be sometime this week. If I pray for you, you will experience the Holy Spirit. You'll experience a level of dynamite that you haven't experienced before. And I'm going to say this and finish. And if there's anything that we need to have real revival in our country, it's going to be another outbreak of the Spirit, exactly as it happened in the late 60s and early 70s during the Jesus movement. The one thing the movie didn't talk about was all those crazy hippies speaking in tongues. But I'll tell you, they did. They did. Because they didn't know how to pray. And God needed them to pray in the Spirit, because if they had done it their way, if they had done for him what they wanted to do their way, how good do you think that would have been? They needed the help of the Spirit. Stand up. I remember we had one lady, young lady, was over here praying, I don't know, just by one of these banners, seeking the Holy Spirit, asking the Holy Spirit to come on her, and he just fell. And she started speaking in tongues all by herself. Nobody did anything. Didn't even get to lay hands on her. Daggone it. This is big. Because you, why would you turn down his promise? Why would you turn down his power? Why would you turn down his praise? Why would you turn down an increase of his presence? You wouldn't. Not if you're thinking right. But you're not thinking right, which is why you need the Spirit. So you can pray outside of the way that you think. Because you're like me. And I could be stupid. Grab somebody's hand or put your hand on somebody's shoulder or something like that. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, I thank you. Not only do we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we get filled many times, and we need fresh fillings. We need more of you. We need to just be exercising ourselves in your Spirit, and we need to be able to pray in the Spirit and pray in our understanding. We need to be able to sing in the Spirit and sing in our understanding. We need to be loosed in you and have you totally loosed in us. And we need to be totally immersed in your Spirit. So, Lord God, as we go from this place today, I pray that anybody who might have felt like they could have come, but maybe were just a little unable to get themselves to do that, I pray that they'll contact me. I want every one of the people in this house to be able to fully engage with everything that you have for us so that we can be the one who goes out of this place equipped, carrying dynamite to a world that's desperate for people. Not powerless Christians, but powerful Christians who can change this world and make the people of the world shout it again. Those who have turned the world upside down have come here too. Bless them as they go today, Lord. And we give you praise for all you're doing and all you're about to do. In Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.